John chapter 9. John chapter 9. The title of my message, if I were to have a title, is Our Condition, Our Cure, and Our Confession. This here is a sinner, every sinner's condition when we come into this world. This is every sinner's cure, if there's to be a cure. If the great physician is pleased to come to someone and cure them of the condition they were born with in Adam. This is how he does it. And the confession that's made. There's a confession made to our friends. There's a confession made to our neighbors. There's a confession made to mommy and daddy. A lot of times that don't go over well. And the Lord's children don't back down from it. It's not pleasant, but you don't back down from it. And there's a confession made to all that false religion we grew up in. Whether that was in an organized church and there's a man that stood up with a Bible and talked to folks, or that's just that organized thing that we worshiped inside of ourselves, because that's what we were worshiping. Inside of us. That's an internal battle. This happens to every believer. I want to look at the end of chapter 9 first, and I want to come back to the beginning. Here's what I wasn't going to tell you, but I want to get through all 41 verses and I'll go as quick as I can. The Lord's dedicated in His Scriptures. He had Apostle John write this whole ninth chapter, 41 verses, speaking of the experience of one blind from birth beggar. Now, do you think it's important for us to see all 41 verses? I think the Lord might just teach us something. He says here in verse 39, And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and they said unto him, Are we blind also? Boy, it'd be in good shape if they was. A great physician standing right in front of them. And Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Oh, we got a good handle on all this. I understand everything. Therefore, your sin remaineth. If that doesn't set the context to it, we're not talking about a guy that don't have 20/20. You get that? That's the most common example of all the healings that take place in the New Testament. The one in the highest number is a blind person being healed. And the Lord could have just spoke it and said, See, and He's the one that gave eyes in the first place. He can make the eye, He can make the eye work. He could have just spoke it. Something happens different here. And the Lord gives us this example. What a beautiful example it is of someone that is physically blind having their sight given to them as a picture, as a token, as a type of someone that's spiritually blind. The way we're born and the Lord giving us spiritual eyes. What a picture. Now at the end of verse 59 there at the end of chapter 8, these religious folks, they took up stones to cast at our Lord. Chapter 8 starts with they're wanting to stone the lady caught in adultery. And chapter 8 ends with now they're wanting to stone the Lord. And went from being mad at her to being mad at him. I said, we like Abraham. He said, Abraham was rejoiced when he saw my day, I am. Abraham was, I am. And they said, let's stone him. And it says there at the end of verse 59, But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. What judgment? What judgment? Those blind didn't even have him physically to look at anymore. Just as he was leaving that temple, casting judgment on those Pharisees there in the temple, he sees a blind beggar, one that was blind from birth. He was born this way. There's a great argument over if the man physically had eyes. I don't know, but I know he couldn't see from birth. That's what we're told, isn't it? Verse 1 there, chapter 9, verse 1. And Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. That's every one of us. That's the sweetest grandmother to the most vile criminal. That's a baby that just goos and gaws and cries when it's hungry to a convicted felon. We're all born blind. We're born blind. That's our condition. We're conceived in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. From conception, we're blind. And the Lord sees His child. That blind man didn't see Christ, did he? He didn't seek Christ. He was just sitting there begging, trying to get some food because he was of age, and mom and daddy put him out of the house. Said, "You go down there and beg for bread today. Maybe somebody will feed you. We can't take care of you." He was just there looking for a handout, looking for a meal. And Christ passed by him and saw him. He saw him. There's always criticism around the child of God, isn't there? Not the false child of God. Not the child. That's a good thing. Oh, they started living right. And they started giving. Helping their neighbor. What good Christians. Ain't no shame in that. That's popular. Now you can go buy a bunch of bumper stickers. You can be like everybody else. Around the true child of God, there's criticism. His vessel of honor. That is so. They don't appear often like vessels of honor, do they? Not many rich, not many wise, not many mobile. It says there in verse 2, and his disciples ask him. This ain't some Joe Schmo. These people have been walking with him. His disciples, they ought to learn better. They ought to know better than this, right? What won't a believer do? His disciples ask him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" That always reminded me of Job's miserable comforters, isn't it? Man wrongly thinks that every time someone isn't healthy, that they're not wealthy, that they're not fit, that it's a reaction of God to their disobedience. Sin is the root cause of pain. Sin is the root cause of illness. Sin is the root cause of death. Yes, that's true. That's why death entered into this world, because of sin. But the reason it was allowed was for the glory and honor of God Almighty. This man was blind. Why was he? Why would a happy, loving God let a man be blind? Oh, this is for good. We see things as evil, don't we? Lord meant it for righteousness, for good, for His glory, for His name's sake, and for the benefit of His loving child. Amos told us, "Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it?" This man's blindness from birth was not a reaction of the Lord, an immediate response to him sinning or his parents sinning or something like that. It was purposed before time. For this world was, the Lord purposed it. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 9, "What if God, willing to show His wrath and make His power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?" The Lord could have went in and killed everyone of them self-righteous Pharisees right then, couldn't He? He's able to show wrath. He's going to show His wrath. That day is coming. But what if He held off? "And that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy." Oh, that's why this world's still standing. "Which He had afore prepared unto glory." They didn't know Him. But boy, they've been prepared since the first man walked this earth. They was in His loins. Even us. Even us whom He hath called. Some poor sinner like me. Some poor sinner like you. Whosoever. Poor people think, "Oh, I'm so bad. I'll wait till I get better and go to services. I'll go hear about God then." You're putting your sin above the one that saved His people from sin. You're saying, "My sin's so bad, God couldn't even save me." Whosoever. Even us, as Paul said. Here in verse 3, Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest, be made manifest in him." What a testament of salvation. People say, "I got saved." You know what getting saved is? You know what being saved by Almighty God is? The glory of the Almighty God manifest in a sinner. That's her. Kind of takes the flippancy out of that, doesn't it? Christ told us that. Verse 4, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." This does not mean that Christ could only heal during the daytime. Men and women, they take the scriptures without any discernment, without any understanding, and they think because those words make sentences and sentences make paragraphs, you kind of understand it, they can make it twist any way they want to. Where he says there in verse 3, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Somebody says, well, this man never was a sinner. His parents never were sinners. Not so. That's out of context, isn't it? They need to, as Solomon said, they need to come in quietly and be taught. They need to be taught something. That's not what this means. But while it is day, today is the day of salvation, isn't it? The sun's in the sky. The gospel is going forth. The Lord just might save somebody. Today. If we look to yesterday, we're not looking to Christ. Today might be the day we look to Him. His mercies are new this morning. While His sheep still need to be drawn to Him, that effectual call is what He'll give. But the day is coming that that last child is going to be brought to know Christ. Our Lord ascended on high, but His gospel is still preached. He's still the light of this world. He still abides in His people. He's still calling out sinners to Himself. His sheep to Himself. But when that last sheep is called, this world's done. Night has come. Darkness has come. And it's all over. That's it. People cry out, oh, Lord, Lord, look at all these good things we did for you. I never knew you. And so judgment's coming. Let the rocks and the mountains fall on us. We need something between us and that God we offended. Ain't going to work now. Today is that day. Who must do the work of salvation? Am I fire and brimstone? You better do this and you better do that. No, of course not. Look at verse 4. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. Christ must do the work. There in verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Christ is seated on the right hand of the majesty on high, that the Lord abides in His people. He is always with us. And as long as His light, His people, His gospel is on this earth, the earth is going to stand. And when He removes it, that's when the darkness will come. The Lord begins to work, the Father's work in this certain man, in this particular blind man, here in verse 6. And when He had thus spoken, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. That's Siloam, that's the pool's name, sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Much is written about the symbolism here and the spit and the clay and the dirt and the height above sea level these particular pools were, which pool they was talking about. But what is the blaring statement in all this? Let me read this. What just pops out at us? The Lord saves men and women, giving them spiritual sight by the means that natural man is offended by. We want it done our way. I'm different. No, you ain't. Not if you're His, you ain't. This man could hear real good, couldn't he? Never seen. It wasn't that he lost his sight as he got older, as a teenager. From birth. Never seen. So his other senses increased, didn't he? He heard some people walking. He heard these men talking to our Master. And he heard... and then... What are you doing? He didn't speak, did he? How offended would I be if a stranger spit and put it on me? That's degrading in almost any culture in this world. What if Kimberly sneezed? Some spittle landed on my arm. I ain't offended by that, am I? What if it was one of my children? What was my family? A loved one? Now it's different. God in human flesh, the living water, Himself, He spit on the ground and He mixed it with some dust and He put it in the man's eyes. We would think that this would make it harder to see, wouldn't it? You ever got mud in your eye? You can't see nothing. You got to rinse it out, don't you? So this man's never seen in his life, and I'm going to put mud in his eye. Now go down to the pool called Scent and wash. And he come back seeing. Told him, said, you go wash in that pool. John tells us here that the pool's named Scent, Many of the old writers that ain't alive no more, they got it wrong. I hate to say it. They said it was just, this is just John's add-on. This isn't important. And that's why the other versions, like the Syriac version and the Persic version, all this, that deemed it unnecessary to include. This doesn't matter. And I asked the question, where did this man go? He went where he was sent. The Lord did a work in him. The Lord said, go, and he went because he was sent. He didn't choose to go. He didn't go tomorrow. He was sent. He was on a mission, wasn't he? When the Lord works in a sinner, that sinner is not idle. A servant that does not serve is not a servant. It's the definition of it, isn't it? And who makes a good servant? If I have somebody working for me in a company, who makes that employee good? Who teaches them? Who trains them? Who shows them how to serve in the right way? The master does. The master shows them. He sends them. He trains them. He corrects them. He teaches them. This sheep here was sent. And he was sent to a healing fountain. The fountain called sent. Now in this fountain, there was nothing physical about this water that had healing properties. There wasn't something special about this fountain that healed this man. The Lord commanded him to go, and he went. And what happened? In verse 7, he went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Our Lord performed a work. He gave a command, and he gave the ability and the faith to obey that command. And there was sight. The lights come on in power. What's our condition? Every man, woman, and child born of Adam. That's got a mommy and a daddy. That's how they were conceived into this world. We're all born blind. But spiritually, we're much worse than something that's just physical blindness. This is the most recorded infirmity in Scripture that was healed. But all around us, everyone in our vicinity is spiritually blind. We don't think anything's out of place. We don't have somebody trying to explain things to us. Like, oh no, here's what a tree looks like. Let me tell you. Come feel it. I'll explain this to you. Here's what the color green looks like. Everyone's spiritually blind that comes into this world. What's the cure? What's the cure for the spiritual blindness? Christ must see us. He must look upon us. He must come to us. He must do a work in us. He must give the command with the power and faith to believe Him and follow Him. And His children do. He commands it. We've been going through Genesis. When He commanded the light to shine, what happened? That light shone. He commanded that earth to come up out of the seas. What happened? Dry land come up out of the seas. When He looks to His children and says, follow Me, what do? They straightway leave the boat. They throw the nets down. They don't sell them on eBay. They leave them. And they follow Him, don't they? With His command comes the power and the faith to obey it. And then there's a confession that comes with that. There's a confession. Look here in verse 8. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen Him, he was blind, said, is this not he that sat and begged? Everyone knew that this was that blind man. Isn't this the blind man? That man that has never seen his whole life, and once he was grown, he came to this same spot outside the temple to beg. Is that beggar? Is that him? Don't hardly look like him, does it? Look at verse 9. And some said, this is he. This is he. And others said, he is like him. It looks like him. Something's different. You think if somebody was blind their whole life and all of a sudden they could see, you think we could tell the difference? There'd be something a little bit different, wouldn't it? Wouldn't be bumping into chairs, wouldn't have a cane out in front of them, on seeing sticks. And something's different. Something's different. Looks like him on the outside, but something ain't the same. I ask you and me, am I that blind person that never saw Christ the light before? I was 100% dependent on another. And He gave me sight. Did I hear His voice and I followed Him? Is that me? Is that me? Look here in verse 9. And some said, this is He. Others said, He is like Him. But He said, I am He. I am He. That used to be me. Oh, things are different now. Moving on up. I am he. I'm a beggar. That's me. I was that blind man. I'm still fully dependent 100% on another, on my Savior, my Lord, for all things. Now, I can walk around now. I can go get a job now. I'm dependent on Him for every bit of it. Verse 10 here asks the most common question of fallen man in religion. How? How? Look here in verse 10. Therefore they said unto him, how were thine eyes open? How? If you got your eyesight, I bet I can get something. I ain't as bad off as you. I only got a bum leg. I only got a bad back. I might be able to get some health. I might be able to get some money. Maybe I can get a position. Maybe I can have some influence over somebody else. I can start teaching folks something. Somebody's going to pay me just to be me. How did you get that? What else did this man confess? He said, "I'm. Ain't nothing changed. I'm still a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace." What else did he confess? Only what he knew. Only what he experienced. That's what a witness is. You tell what you saw. You tell what you've experienced. You don't add on. You don't fluff it up. Here's what happened. How'd you get your sight? It says in verse 11, and he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. This work had begun, but Christ had not been yet seen by this man. There's something drastically different about him though, huh? Something drastically different. They said, verse 12, they said unto him, where is he? Where's this Jesus you're talking about? And he said, I know not. I know not. I don't know where he, I haven't learned that part yet. I know what he told me. I know what he did. And I know what happened. That's all I know. So you know what happened? Those neighbors, they asked him some things. And he told them the truth of what happened. And they said, how? How did this happen? And that answer probably wasn't good enough. So they said, you know what he needs to do? You're confused. You're ill spiritually. You need to go to church. We got to get this guy to church. We need to find some priest or something to help this fella. Somebody's got to talk to him. Look here in verse 13. They brought it to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind. They got him there. But these religious folks had a bone to pick. Look at verse 14. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Uh-oh. He did the work on the Sabbath. This man was healed on the Sabbath. He was given sight. He spit on the ground and made some clay. Told him to go walking, just like he told that man at Pool of Bethesda, take your bed up and go. They got a bone to pick. They said in verse 15, then again the Pharisees also asked him, how? How? He had received his sight. And he said unto them, more simply this time, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and do see. Starting to get a little frustrated, isn't he? Y'all dragging me all over town. I just saw today for the first time. He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and now I see. That's a question of man, of natural man. How? How? What must I do to be saved? What's the function? How does all this work? What's all the moving parts? I need to see it. And he told him more plainly. He put clay in my eyes. I washed. I see. That's the structure of salvation declared. You know that? People want to know the inner workings. I got to get a good handle on all this stuff. Christ does a work. A sinner's plunged into the fountain of living waters, into Christ himself. And now they see what they've never done before. Now see him. That's it. Pretty simple, isn't it? And you know that caused a division? That made a bunch of folks mad. They divide. They bite and devour and divide, don't they? Look here at verse 16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. He broke the Sabbath. This couldn't be God's man that cured this blind fellow. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. This is all technicality now, isn't it? Who's who? Not once has anyone said, oh, Bill, this is outstanding. You can see. Have you ever seen a hummingbird? I want to show you. You ever seen one of those birds of paradise and flowers that's up here in the back? They're beautiful. Come here, I want you to see. So look what the Lord made. Not once did they. It's all legal transaction. Who's broke the law? Who's just? There's no praising, no rejoicing. What a picture of a person that's first given that glimpse of light, of Christ the light, of the gospel, and the world. And that very first day they see something, they want to put you through the ringer. Question you. Divide. Now you're seeing things how they truly are, ain't they? I thought those were good religious folks down there. Maybe not. Being mean. Well, they asked this man his opinion because they were so divided. He's going to have to land on one side or the other. Either your half or my half is going to get another vote, ain't it? Look here in verse 17. And they said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? He that hath opened thine eyes. And he said, he is a prophet. He's a prophet. What little I know, I can tell you this. This man was sent of God. This is God's chosen man. Boy, he got that right, didn't he? Who healed his eyes? God's elect. His firstborn. His chosen. Our prophet, priest, and king. That didn't sit well with them, so they began to discredit this man. Now you got to attack his personal life. Got to dig up some dirt in the past. This sounds like a lot like politics, isn't it? Ain't much different. He never was blind in the first place. He only got part blind once he got a little older. Here in verse 18. But the Jews did not believe him concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they had called his parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who ye say? You say? He was born blind? How then doth he see? How? Now they're asking the parents. How is he seeing? How? What a shame. That's a natural man's defenses, isn't it? We didn't die in Adam. We were just poked in one eye. We wasn't blind from birth. Every man's got a little bit of good in him. You're lying. That's every one of us. So they brought his parents in and asked them. It says in verse 20, and his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. This is him. And we know that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. We ain't got a dog in this fight. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Now these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, this is the Messiah that did this, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, his parents, he is of age, ask him. They turn on their own son. I might get kicked out of church for this. I might get on church punishment for this. He's grown. He was blind. They already put him out, right? You're of age. You get out of the house. Go start begging. We ain't taking care of you. Well, now he can see. We sure ain't going to have nothing to do with him. This affects our personal life, doesn't it? Our standing in the community. Those Pharisees figured that this wasn't going to be profitable. We keep asking everybody how. Nobody's answering us. We got the parents in here, and they're double talking. Even a crook knows a crook, don't they? And they said, let's just wrap this thing up. Let's save some face and get it over with. They said in verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. You can see now, we know that this man is a sinner. They call it an assumptive close. They're going to declare Christ a sinner for breaking the Sabbath day. And you can see, we know this, and you just say that God did it, and let's get this day over with. But you know, when the Lord does a work in somebody, they can't deny Him. They have to be a true witness. They have to tell exactly what happened. They can't back down. They can't sleep with the enemy and make buddies with them and compromise on the gospel. This can't happen. I'll compromise on anything else. You want me to drive a certain brand of car? I'll do it. You want me not wear red ties? I'll quit wearing red ties. But you just say that this man was a sinner and God did this and let's get this over with. And he said, not so. Look here in verse 25. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. These big-headed religious men wanted to argue over if Christ was a sinner or not. And you know what the saved man says? I don't know. All I know is I didn't see and I see now. He saved me. What wisdom out of the mouth of a baby in Christ. Then they said unto him again, verse 26, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? If you're going to keep talking, we're going to keep asking, how? 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 This is the fourth time in 15 verses somebody asked him how. We just have to know. We can't stand it unless we understand how this works. He gets frustrated. Look here in verse 27. And he answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Told you over and over again. Wherefore would you hear it again? Why do you want me to tell you one more time? Will you also be his disciples? I follow this man. I've told you over and over, and the simplicity of Christ ain't satisfying you. Because you're not his. The Lord hasn't given you ears to hear. And just like he asked that man at Bethesda, you want to be his disciples? You want to be made whole? Look how you all picking at me. You're biting and devouring me and tearing me to shreds. You want to stand up here and get picked at? You want to confess that you ain't nothing but a sinner and that's all you ever have been? You walked in darkness your whole life? Bunch of all these religious high minds, you're going to get demoted. You're going to give all that up? You're going to be his disciples? And that riled them up. He hit right where they lived, didn't he? Look at verse 28. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. Boy, they told the truth. We're the law's disciple. I'm a doctrine's disciple. I'm a creed's disciple. I'm something other than Christ's disciple. I will not have this man reign over me. I've got to do something. I've got to possess something. It says in verse 29, we know that God spake unto Moses. We know that for a fact. But for this fellow, this Jesus you speak of, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing. He had boldness. He had boldness. Boy, this is marvelous. This is a marvelous thing. That ye know not from whence he is. You don't know where this man come from. And he hath opened mine eyes. How come he didn't open everybody's eyes? That's miraculous. He did open my eyes. So that's not always, he's not picking on them like, oh, look at me, I'm a Lord's elect, and you're not. Oh, how could he have hated Esau? That's not the question. What a marvelous thing. He hit him right then. Look what the Lord done. He's opened mine eyes. Verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. We know that. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth him. If you believe God and do the will of God, the Lord hears him. And I ain't talking about this blind man. That's Christ. That's who he's speaking of. Christ worships God. Christ does the will of God, and God hears Christ. The Father hears him. He said, Father, I know you hear me always, but I'm going to say this out loud so everybody around me can hear it. Since the world began was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. This has never happened in the history of this earth. This has never been recorded. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. God sent this man to me. God sent Christ to me. And if God didn't do it, it ain't possible. Saying salvation to the Lord. I think that made him matter. In verse 34. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? You're a sinner. What can you tell me? I can tell you how sinners are saved. That's pretty important, isn't it? God's going to use sinners to tell people how he saves sinners. And they cast him out. He didn't have to worry about purging that temple, did he? They cast him out. They run him off. Story doesn't end there. I'll try to be quick. That was the verdict. That was the verdict. This poor man... Lord gave him sight for the first time in his whole life. He's up in his 30s, all the estimates are. He was grown, big enough to leave a house. He didn't live with mom and daddy no more. He could shave. And he was out, and he gets sight for the first time. And now he can see for the first time in his whole life. And people just henpecking him all day long. They ain't going to let him go. And they want to make this a religious debate. And he said, Lord gave me physical eyes. And through this, he's showing me I got spiritual eyes too. I don't know exactly what happened, but I know something. I didn't see it, I do now. This man Jesus is the one that did it. He's of God. He is God. Whenever he got kicked out of church, verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, who found who? Everybody thinks they found Jesus. They know he's lost. He comes to his people. He finds lost sinners. That's who he comes after. And he said unto him, dost thou believe the Son of God? You believe on the Son of God? That's a question. And what think ye of Christ? And he answered and said, here's the best. This is the question. He answered with a question. Here's the question. Everybody else is asked, how? Here's a question. Who is he, Lord? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Salvation standing right in front of you. The resurrection standing right in front of you. Redemption standing right in front of you. The Almighty God standing right in front of you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. What more could be said of a sinner saved? Our condition of every man, woman, and child born to this earth, they're blind. They don't know they're blind. They think they see everything. We're blind spiritually. The only cure is for Christ to do a work in his people. And we will confess him. We'll confess him. We confess him to our neighbors. We confess him to mommy and daddy, our families. We confess him to the religious people on this earth. But we confess him to God. We declare Christ. That's the only name we come in, isn't it? We declare who. Not how. Who. That's who we declare. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that they which see not might see. I'm going to shed some light in sinners' hearts. That was putting him before the foundation of the world. And that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? You saying I'm blind? You saying I don't know these scriptures? Jesus said to him, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Oh, we got a good handle on everything. Therefore your sin remaineth. The Lord has to make a blind man. I pray He'll do that tonight.